Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
What does that mean, Kobe Bryant?
Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Good people. We are back and I am proud to be with you on this Duffy's MVP Monday here on Theoretically Speaking. It's your boy Theo Dorsey. We got C-Cat on the other side of the glass, really on the other side of the map, on the ones and twos, kicking it in the West Palm Beach City Place studios. And might I say this, C-Cat, in a world right now, we're in the midst of the Summer Olympics, where we're inching up closer and closer to the kickoff of the NFL season. By the way, today, return of Teddy Two-a-Days. Yeah, we're taking down the Los Angeles Chargers and the Vegas Raiders, two AFC West teams. Might I say, C-Cat, I'm not going to let what we're starting today, talking about the disappointments from the Paris Olympics, get me down, because I'm just excited to be back, dog. How you doing on this Monday?
I'm doing good, man. You know me, red, white, and blue through and through, but my disappointments didn't come from the US of A this week, and I got to give you a little bit of a teaser of where I'm going with this.
Wow. Okay. Cause for me, part of my disappointment is my, almost I'm disappointed in myself because I have to say, and don't, you know, strike me for my lack of patriotism. Don't diss me for my lack of an ability to, like we said before these Olympics, no matter what, there's one thing in this world that unites all Americans, and it happens once every 2 years and every 4 years if you're only a Summer Olympics person. But when you see somebody in the red, white, and blue, you're clapping, you're cheering, you're ready to rock. I can't lie. My disappointment had to do with the fact that I was actively rooting against an American in one of the most one of the most prestigious events in the Summer Olympics. So we'll get to that as well. But I mean, just hearing that off the top, C-Cat, is that taboo? Am I wrong? I know I wasn't alone.
No, I think, you know what, we're more than just what the country we play for. So if some guy got a stick in your side, like a thorn, and you annoy you, I mean, yes. Why not? Yeah, if this guy annoys you, it doesn't care if he's from Jamaica, USA, Spain, it doesn't matter, he annoys you.
Damn it, I'm going to stick with it then. I'm sticking with my guns, dog. I'm glad you gave me that confidence to do so because it's incredible to feel this way. But Noah Lyles, who is, coming close. I think he'll have the 200-meter final on Thursday. He has a chance to be the first American since Carl Lewis 4 decades ago to sweep the 100-meter and the 200-meter dash. C-Cat, I cannot lie to you if I were to say I was actively rooting against him in that 100-meter dash. And just like the announcer who called it for the Jamaican dude, when he did cross the finish line third, technically, though his chest crossed first, I was a little happy. I was a little excited when he came up short. And again, nothing personal to Team USA. Everything personal to Noah Lyles because the dude has been ticking me off since like 4 years ago. And it all started when he tried to come at some of the things I hold more near and dear, things that I root for on a daily basis, not just every 4 years. And that's American pro sports.
You know, the thing that hurts me the most is that I have to watch the NBA finals and they have world champion on their head. World champion of what? The United States? Don't get me wrong. I love the U.S. at times.
But no, that ain't the world. I don't have the feedback there. I couldn't hear it. But was that the Noah Lyles? Did we get Noah Lyles on the air?
Yeah, we got it. About? Yeah.
Okay, cool. I didn't know how. So we're going to have to try to figure out that technical difficulty going forward. Maybe you give me a point or a shout. For those that don't know, I am with family in Minneapolis right now, so I'm remote. So we'll work out the kinks in that as C-Cat does it back in the studio. But do you hear that guy? Do you hear the narcissism in his voice? Do you hear the disrespect as he's kind of trying to shoot down these guys that are going out and winning it at the highest level in the NBA, in Major League Baseball, in the NFL, and might I say, too, in the NBA, there are other teams from other countries. So can we stop that nonsense? But I just couldn't believe that this dude would try and take a thorn to the back of some of the greatest athletes that we watch on a daily basis that we celebrate and lift up. And meanwhile, he was out here calling himself the fastest man in the world before he won an Olympic gold medal in the 100 meter. He was out here tooting his horn, a lot of like a somewhat of a corny disposition. It just wasn't all of it felt flawed to me, man. All of it didn't feel real. I'm looking at it like, man, is this really Team USA? Like, is this our guy? Is this going to be our sprinter, our Michael Johnson, our Carl Lewis? It didn't feel like that, especially after we watched Usain Bolt dominate for the past, decade or so in men's track. So honestly, it was disappointing to me when after he crossed the line third, but somehow won first place, they did justly grant him that gold medal because he did fairly win that race. But does it really feel like Noah Lyles is the fastest man in the world? I mean, if it takes that kind of a photo and for you to win in 0.0005 of a second over two dudes that look like they had you beat, can you really be pounding your chest the way that he's doing today? I just don't think so. And I know I wasn't the only one rooting against the guy, but now I feel anti-American, C-Cat. Am I disappointed in him or am I disappointed in myself? I can't tell, but Noah Lyles winning the 100-meter dash, definitely the most disappointing thing for me from these Summer Olympics so far. And also, now I'd be remiss if I don't root for the dude in the 200 meter because I want to see some history happen. I want to see another American sweep the podium when it comes to the 100 and the 200.
It is tough. You and I both proudly wear the crown of being haters, but you've never sounded more like a hater until right now by saying, could he even say and pound his chest because he didn't even win that much? I don't care how much you win by in the Olympics. If you win the race and get gold, you won and you are the fastest. So I think that's a little unfair.
It didn't feel like a win. It didn't look like a win. I watched Usain Bolt run past dudes, look back at them, and then cross the finish line and clap for them as they came through the finish line. And then this dude is inching his way by. And again, he didn't cross the finish line first. Like, yes, technically it's a win, but that ain't a real win to me. Yeah. I think you need to do a little bit more, especially if you're going to come through with all that chatter. Like, I'm all for being for the guy that if you talk that talk and you back it up, I got to give you your props. But this one feels like a bit of an asterisk. So I just can't.
Asterisk.
Get there.
This is like you saying that, or someone went to Theo Dorsey, who's a massive Chiefs fan, came up to you and said, you know what, that Chiefs Super Bowl this year didn't really count really that much. You should be pounding your chest. You took them to overtime, okay? You were even with the Niners through regulation, so should you really be proud of that? Listen, we go back in time. There were blowouts in the Super Bowls. They deserve to pound their chest. They deserve it more than the Chiefs, who had to go to overtime for the first time ever in the Super Bowl.
Now, great point. I will counter you with this. It would be more like winning the Super Bowl on a flawed call, almost like the last Super Bowl for the Chiefs against the Eagles, where people were mad about the Bradbury hold on Juju Smith-Schuster. That feels a little bit more like the asterisk win, or even like how I try to discount one of Brady's rings because Russell Wilson gifted it to him on the goal line when he threw it right into the hands of Malcolm Butler. Those feel more like that. This? Sorry. It was at least disappointing to me. What was the most disappointing thing for you so far in these Summer Olympics? Let us know on the Baptist Health Hotline, 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. That's the number for the Baptist Health Hotline. What's been the most disappointing thing for you these Summer Olympics? Because for me, it's got to be Noah Lyles, a guy who, again, I don't like rooting against Americans. But something about this dude, the way he's been talking, the way he kind of was trying to discount the guys that I actually root for on a daily basis, it shifted me the wrong way. It shifted me a little bit sideways, and I was hoping that the Jamaican or anybody or the other Americans would have won, but not Noah Lyles. But there he is with the gold medal, and I have a little bit of a stain on my face. Baptist Health Hotline, 888-760-3776. Are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care is a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic foot and ankle joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care's office is conveniently located in Palm Beach County and through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. C-Cat, for you, you said it wasn't against Team USA. What was the most disappointing thing so far in these Paris Olympics?
The most thing I've been locked in on was golf this weekend for the Paris Olympics. And John Rahm, first year in LIV, everyone's talking bad about him and all the majors, hasn't quite showed up, really didn't have the health that he wanted in the first half of the major season. And he had a 4-stroke lead over the field going into the back nine on Sunday morning, if you're in the U.S. viewing it. And he ended up not making the podium. Yeah, John Rahm from Spain finished tied for fifth, 4 strokes off the lead. Again, went to the turn, 4 strokes ahead of the field, finished off the tournament, 4 strokes off the lead, tied for fifth. If John Rahm was able to take that medal, not just gold medal, not just silver, just any medal on the podium, it would have been Spain's first ever medal in men's golf. And he just wasn't able to do it. A total collapse on the back nine by the Spaniard John Rahm.
But did you see Scottie Scheffler? I thought you were like a Scottie Scheffler guy. I mean, he got the job done.
He did.
You weren't at least.
But if John Rahm didn't win but still made the podium, it wouldn't be a disappointment for me. But you disappointed an entire country, John Rahm did, with his performance in those final 9 holes. I love Scottie Scheffler. Seeing him tear up with a national anthem after winning gold, after the year that Scottie Scheffler has been through, maybe a disappointing last 3 majors. I kind of thought it was the most historical season of all time if he was able to bring at least one of those majors home. And he got a bonus 5th major by winning gold in the Olympics. I was happy for Scottie. But the bigger story, in my mind, it was John Rahm just completely wet in the bed.
Can't be mad at it. Can't be mad at it. And also, we've gone to the well with Spaniards and take it to the house. So, you know, that's been a place where we've probably felt a little bit, you know, when you back a person, you make a prediction and they make you right, you kind of want to stick with them. You become even more of a fan. So I ain't going to hate on it. But still, you know, shout out to Scottie getting it for the Americans. On Twitter, at Theo Dorsey TV, we tweeted this out. Biggest disappointment of the Summer Olympics so far. Our guy Mike McCoy says Paris. Says terrible host city, especially hearing about what happened to Sha'Carri Richardson. And again, I don't know if that's true. I saw a bit of a story about it, but what I do know is Sha'Carri Richardson didn't win the 100. She got 2nd place. And beyond that, Shelly Ann Fraser Price, we still haven't figured out why she withdrew from that race. And if those rumors about them having to walk a long distance beforehand are true, I would have to side with them. But I will say, I was watching the cycling contest. I mean, them finishing right under the Eiffel Tower and the backdrop that Paris provides as a city, like, I think the ambiance, I think that the vibe itself might just make up for any kind of shortcomings they've been having when it comes to functionality. They have the stuff with the water. It's all kind of mess out there, but what Olympics isn't a mess, right?
Yeah, you read my mind, because I was looking up the dude who won the men's Olympic road race, the bike thing that you were talking about where it finished under the Eiffel Tower. That visual, if you haven't seen it yet, go look it up right now. Pull over, pull it up on your phone, look up on Twitter, Olympic men's road race. This dude, Remco Evenepoel, he had a replacement bike at the Lourdes with 2 kilometers to go. Massive drama, and it looked like the end of a movie where the camera just pans out and you see him below the Eiffel Tower. I think for a good Olympics venue, a venue city, venue country, you got to have those visuals, and Paris provides. They absolutely provide.
Yes. It absolutely delivers. And that's why, like, I was just talking with the wife, like, we really want to go to an Olympics. That's one of those bucket list things for both of us. But something about going to the Olympics in L.A. in 2028, it ain't doing it for me. Like, no. I'm just in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I'm with you. Maybe that's just part of an American mindset that everything in the United States doesn't sound that crazy. Like, what's the biggest visual that we're going to see in the USA Olympics? Because I can't think of much. I grew up in New York, so all of New York City isn't that crazy to me at all. Whenever I was in New York City, someone wanted to visit, I did not want to, like, go to the city with them at all. It didn't interest me whatsoever. Is there anything going to be at the Grand Canyon or something? I don't know. I don't know how stuff works.
Yeah, the Grand Canyon?
Yeah.
Is that like
what event would be at the Grand Canyon? I don't know. Maybe some hang gliding? Is that the Olympics? Olympic hang gliding?
You do know that. Isn't the Grand Canyon all the way in Arizona?
Yeah. Well, I thought the USA Olympics, or it's only in LA?
Okay. I mean, I thought it was mostly going to be in Los Angeles. You could be right. I'm sure there's a lot more things going on. I wasn't around for the 92 Atlanta Olympics. I'm not sure how it shakes out. They probably do go beyond the city for some of these things. But you're right. It's just a little bit more depressing. Not depressing. It's just it's more disappointing. Like we've been talking about Raul the whole day. It's disappointing. And honestly, Jalen Gilkey in the chat says CCAT failed geography. We're going to double check on that if it was more of a geography slander on your behalf. But also, he says the TV production so far from NBC has been bad. So there's a lot of disappointment surrounding that. Not by your watch.
I didn't mind it. I thought if I needed to find something to watch, if you have Peacock, which I have it because of football and I get it for free with this golf account I have. But if you have Peacock, it's pretty easy. I think you just search whatever event you're looking for and it's all in one app. I got no complaints about the TV production, maybe because I'm not watching it like on cable television on like, what is it? Yes. Primetime Paris. I don't watch that stuff, but I seek out certain events and it's been pretty easy to find for me.
I can't knock you there. I've been watching a lot of it in digital as well. I will say one time we were at a restaurant, it was for the 100 meter. And I'm like, they had 3v3 basketball on instead because they were on like the USA Network. And I'm telling the bartender, she's like, no, the Olympics are on. I said, no, 100 meter dash is about to come on. You're on a subset of that channel. I need you to go to main NBC. And it was a bit of a quick back and forth. We got it settled. It was quick. But I'm like, the fact that this is even a thing, like the fact that we had 3v3 basketball going on, by the way, another disappointment for America, because I don't know how. The men's team, I know that we don't send our guys. We got not scrubs. I don't want to call them scrubs, but we got dudes out there that ain't dudes that making it to the league, getting scrubbed by other countries. Like, did you see we lost to the Netherlands, like 21-6?
Yeah,
the men's USA 3v3 team.
They wouldn't let you back on the courts. Like, if you were playing at the Y here, you wouldn't be invited back the following time. It was embarrassing.
21-6, the game would have stopped. Before he got the 21.
Man, can we shake up these teams? Three good guys. Let's mix it up a little bit. It's ridiculous.
Let's keep it entertaining. That's terrible. Never disappointing is EDS air conditioning and plumbing. And I've told y'all I'm a gold member. I've told y'all how comfortable my life is with my wife in our home, which stays cool because she keeps that thing on 68, 69 degrees from sun up to sundown. We can do that because we are with EDS Air Conditioning and Plumbing. EDSisYes.com. That's the website. EDSisYes.com. Make sure you lock in. Get on that website and schedule an appointment around your schedule, on your time, because they're there for you with 24/7 support on EDSisYes.com. For all of your plumbing needs, for all of your AC needs, EDS is a trained comfort specialist, and it's hard to stop a train. They've got 4.8 star Google rating with over 760 reviews, and that number keeps on climbing because EDS is yes. There's so many reasons why EDS is yes, so hop on EDSisYes.com and lock in. Maybe become a gold member like me, because that's a lot easier to do than winning a gold medal like what Noah Lyles did. So as much as I'm hating, what I will say is, the dude did do it. He told us he was going to win it. Looked uncertain, even past the race, even to him, but he got it done. We continue to talk. What's the most disappointing thing for you for the 2024 Summer Olympics out in Paris, as well as, I'm excited for this, CCAT, the return of Teddy Two-a-days. We're giving some NFL breakdowns ahead of the season. We're giving the ceiling. We're giving the floor. We're giving the crystal ball. The Las Vegas Raiders and the Los Angeles Chargers, who they got a lot of concern coming into the preseason here. Hobbled quarterback, maybe a head coach that has a little bit of baggage that he left behind at his last stop. Can't wait to tackle that. That's CCAT. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Tap in with us on YouTube at Theo Speaking. Make sure you're locked in. And of course, you can always listen to us on a smart speaker wherever you are. Just say play ESPN 106.3. And there you go. You're locked in with me, Theo Dorsey. And we got my boy CCAT back here on a Duffy's MVP Monday. But you know, It's bigger. It's bigger than just the MVPs. We'll be giving the candidates out later on. One of the candidates I'll hint towards right quick, because since we've been gone, C-Cat, and I know we were off last Friday, I was out in Chicago before then, I just cannot believe. Like, we saw the USA Today coaches poll come out, right, for college football, preseason rankings. Of course, Georgia's won. Florida State at 10 was a little confusing, but then Miami at 19, I'm really a little perplexed. I'm thinking they might get a little bit more buzz ahead of that. And then I remember, that's the coaches poll, not the AP poll. And if there's one national annual list that has maybe even less credibility than the coaches poll, it's got to be the NFL 100 at this point. Like, what are these dudes smoking to put Tyreek Hill as the best player in the league?
That stopped me in my tracks. I think I was walking, like, to my car when I saw that tweet come down the wire where Patrick Mahomes was ranked in terms of the players ranking the top 100 players in the NFL. When I saw Pat Mahomes is ranked number 4, I almost, like, had to take an Ambien or something. It was crazy.
Your favorite team is the Baltimore Ravens. You don't even have Lamar Jackson as a top 2 quarterback. Now, on theoretically speaking, we established he's above Josh Allen until proven otherwise. It's 1 Mahomes, 2 Jackson. But you had to be shaken to see Lamar Jackson as the number 2 player in the league when you think he's the number 3 quarterback. Like,
yeah, he's like neck and neck with Joe Burrow with me. I've got Mahomes. Then I have Josh Allen after him. I could not believe that why would the players do that? What was the point of that?
No clue, but it turned into a Tyreek Hill extension. Also, a little bit of him pounding his chest. And also, most importantly, some Mahomes motivation, which is going to matter because we're about to break down 2 AFC West teams in Teddy Tuadays. But before we do so, I got to tell you about a place where, I mean, when you mention Mahomes, what do you think? Championships. When you mention Kaiser University Athletics, I mean, just straight up synonymous with winning, synonymous with championships. How about 22? How's 22 on for size? I mean, if you had all 22 of Kaiser's national championship rings, you could put 2 on each finger and you'll still have 2 rings sitting on the table, because that's how big they do it right there at the flagship campus of Kaiser University in West Palm Beach. They got 60 plus conference championships under their belt as well. And as Kaiser University keeps on ringing in these titles, you can keep up with the Seahawks by going with KUSeahawks.com. That's KUSeahawks.com to tap in on Kaiser Athletics. You know we cover those Seahawks as they keep on riding that road to victory. You can stay up to date as well on their website, KUSeahawks.com. All righty, it's time. I've been firing it up all weekend. I've been kind of sitting on this stuff. This is AFC West talk, so this is right up my wheelhouse. How about some Teddy Tuadays on a Monday?
Hut, hut, hike!
And we start Teddy Tuadays in a place that is familiar to where the Olympics will be in 3 or 4 years. Actually, for C-Cat, he thought it was going to be out at the Grand Canyon, but we're going to Los Angeles for the Chargers. By the way, C-Cat, any ruling on that before we talk Chargers? Like, is it possible the Grand Canyon's at play for the Olympics in 2028?
I'm going to wave the white flag here. I don't think it's possible. I think no events are going to take place at the Grand Canyon.
Okay, but you know, it again, in other countries, it does feel like there's some other cities, some more outside cities. That would just be a further hike. So no Grand Canyon for the 20.
They're doing surfing in Fiji, I think, right? Because that's a Paris or a French territory. So the book's not closed.
Yeah.
So you know what? We'll wait and see.
It's not impossible. I do want to put it on the record, C-Cat. It's not impossible you predicting there being an event at the Grand Canyon in the 2028 LA Olympics. I would say it's improbable. I also don't know what the heck anybody would want to be doing over the Grand Canyon. You said, like, sky jumping? I don't know. Forget all that. We're talking Los Angeles Chargers. We're talking Teddy Tuadays. And so let's start with what happened last year. The Chargers were 5-12. They got their head coach, Brandon Staley, who nobody, including his own family, believed in, chopped. And then also, they bring in Jim Harbaugh as their new head coach. No Austin Ekeler. No Keenan Allen. No Mike Williams. Total turnover, but they have Justin Herbert back at quarterback. And I look at the win total for the Chargers on Hard Rock Bet. It's 8.5. But that win total is juiced a little bit. Minus 155, C-Cat. When you see an 8.5 win total that's juiced up to minus 155, what does that tell you?
Minus 155 on the over is what you're saying?
If you want the over, yep, on the over.
That tells me that the books think it's more likely that the Chargers will win 9 games than they win 8 games.
So people are riding high on these Chargers to be a 4-game improvement with the addition of the vibe, the aura of Jim Harbaugh, and the subtraction of Staley and a bunch of the old vets on offense. How about we talk about the ceiling for this Chargers squad?
The ceiling is the roof. Let's make it happen.
If everything goes right, and I do mean everything, when you have a quarterback in Justin Herbert who is apparently going to be in a boot for about 2 weeks because of plantar fascia, an injury in his right foot, when you have a team that is inexperienced with each other that needs to build chemistry, I would say if everything still goes right for this team, the Chargers, 10-7, they make it into that wild card, but I still do not see a world in which this squad, with a lack of talent, with Ladd McConkey, I mean, they got Ladd McConkey right now out of Georgia looking like the number one receiver for them or number one threat, winning the AFC West and beating out the Chiefs. 10-7 and a wild card berth feels like the ceiling for this team, though Vegas obviously a little bit higher on them. But that's the ceiling. How about if everything doesn't go as planned? The floor. The worst of the worst for the Chargers and C-Cat. I think it starts with Herbert not actually being able to pan out this year. With him and losing all of those weapons that he built chemistry with over the past 3 years, him changing another offensive system for himself, as well as, I mean, when you're coming into the season injured, following a year in which you lost 4 or 5 games to injury last year, it doesn't give you a lot of confidence in this division. The floor, 5-12. A miserable first season for Harbaugh, a guy that is unfamiliar with losing because all he's done in the NFL is win and win and win. I think this could get real ugly for the Chargers, but how about that crystal ball? This is exactly how it'll play out for the Los Angeles Chargers. First and foremost, Jim Harbaugh is like an unstoppable force versus an immovable object, and that is the dire situation that the Chargers seem to fall into every single year. Doesn't it feel like the Chargers are just cursed, C-Cat? Do you get that feeling, similar to the LA Clippers, that is a cursed franchise?
Yeah, you don't really see many wins in Charger uniform. Doesn't matter what kind of talent they have. Didn't they have the number one offense and the number one defense and didn't make the playoffs with those LT and Phil Rivers days? How is that possible?
They also had a year where they won like 14 games. Their coach got coach of the year, and somehow Schottenheimer's on the market in the offseason. This franchise does it to themselves all the time, and my crystal ball says 7 wins for the Chargers. And most importantly, remember that one viral fan that popped out of nowhere on that random Monday night game for the Chargers? I say we never see or hear from her again because I'm still convinced she was a plant. 7 wins. That fan that was supposed to be the face of the Chargers fan base, we don't hear from her this season. And Jim Harbaugh, who has all that luggage, is going to have karma slap him right in the face for leaving Michigan the way he did. Great job on the national title, but it's about to get ugly for the Wolverines and Sharon Moore, who's taking over for Jim Harbaugh, who just got out right in the nick of time.
I think you might be underplaying how bad of a coach Brandon Staley was. That's kind of my entire theory on this Chargers team. I think they're going to win. They're going to hit your ceiling, if you would. I think 10-7s would be my crystal ball, just because I think losing Brandon Staley and gaining Jim Harbaugh is worth several wins in of itself.
I don't disagree, but I do think that it's 2 wins because you're discounting one thing, and that's you didn't just lose Brandon Staley and gain Jim Harbaugh. You lost Keenan Allen, who was like a buck 50 targets every year. You lost Mike Williams, who, though he couldn't stay healthy, would get you through the regular season. And Austin Eckler, he looked like a shell of himself, but damn if he wasn't a good, you know, safety blanket for Justin Herbert, who's going to have to figure out things in a new system yet again. I'm just not that high on it right now. 7 wins. And the in case you missed it for the Chargers is, yes, Justin Herbert, he is in a boot right now. He is likely to play in week 1, but coming into the season with an injury, with a new coaching staff, never what you want to see. How about we switch it up and we go across the street, not really, but across state lines to the Las Vegas Raiders for some Teddy Two-a-days.
Hut, hut, hike!
The Vegas Raiders last year, 8-9, second in the AFC West. I mean, they had a litany of bad quarterbacks that they ran through, though, en route to that 8-win season under Antonio Pierce, who was the interim coach, who now has the title of head coach. He's the man with the plan. He's got the job. And based on the addition of Christian Wilkins, the solidification of Antonio Pierce as the head coach, after winning 8 years last season, their win total, according to Hard Rock Bet, CCAT, 6.5.
Ooh.
I don't get it.
That's brutal.
Absolutely brutal. And a lot of it's going to boil down to the fact that they don't necessarily have a quarterback. And that's why we'll start right with, if everything goes right for the Vegas Raiders, in a perfect world, let's hear from Jordan.
The ceiling is the roof. Let's make it happen.
And if they do make it happen in a perfect world, the Raiders, I see them as a 7-win team right alongside of my crystal ball with the Chargers. You got Gardner Minshew at quarterback. It's funny because when I think about the Chargers and Raiders, they could solve each other's problems. How about the Chargers take on Devontae Adams? How about the Raiders somehow get Justin Herbert in-house? But both of these teams separately have too many holes on offense specifically that make me feel like in this division, going up against Mahomes, in this conference, going up against all of those beasts of the AFC, I can't see them winning enough games to make the playoffs. And it can get ugly. It can get bad. Let's visit the floor for the Las Vegas Raiders in 2024. 3-14, CCAT. I mean, I don't know if you've looked at the Raiders' schedule this year, but again, they're going to have Gardner Minshew at quarterback. And you look up and down that schedule, and I can't find many games they'd be favored in. Just two games I look at. September 22nd, they're home to the Panthers. CCAT, Raiders at home versus the Panthers. You feel good about that one, right?
I feel good. I think they're going to win by 2 touchdowns.
That's a good one. And then November 24th, they're home to the Broncos. They should be favored in that as well. But beyond that, every other game, it looks like they're going to be the underdog trotting out a quarterback in Gardner Minshew. It's hard for me to put a confidence in that. The floor for the Raiders, 3-14. But how about some big Teddy crystal ball? They have a 6.5 win total on Hard Rock Bet, but you heard it here first. The Raiders are going to be a 5-win team in 2024. 5. Count them. And I guarantee you this, it won't be any more than that. It could be less. I have no faith at all in this Raiders team. The Raiders gonna Raider like they always do. Sure, they got an elite defense, but like we've seen with other teams in the past, if you don't feel like your offense can move the ball by week 5, week 6, week 7, guys like Christian Wilkins are going to be like, dude, I ain't going to keep banging my head against the wall and fighting out full effort when that guy's throwing the ball right back to the other side. That Christmas game that they won against the Chiefs, they didn't have a single passing yard in the second half. You can't win steadily on a diet like that. And most of all, the real reason why I see this team winning 5 games, CCAT, the in case you missed it, run and tell this to your friends if they missed this offseason angle, the loss. Vegas Raiders hired Luke Getsy as their offensive coordinator. And if you don't know who Luke Getsy is, it's likely for good reason. He was the OC for the Chicago Bears for the last couple of years. CCAT, if it ain't on Matt Eberflus and he still got a job and Getsy gets let go of, how the hell do you have confidence in a guy who couldn't put an offense together like that with Justin Fields and DJ Moore to come into Vegas and get wins out of Gardner Minshew?
You gave me 6 minutes on the Raiders, and you haven't mentioned Aiden O'Connell. That chubby boy with a mustache is going to make you regret it. Just watch, okay? Boiler up for Aiden O'Connell.
Uh-huh. That's the savior of the Raiders season. That's exactly why I got them winning 5 games this year. There it was, Teddy Two-a-days. What was the most off-base thing I said right there, CCAT? You already fought back on both of my win totals right there, but out of all of that, at least you got to say I'm fair to the Raiders in saying that the defense is good, but there's no confidence on the other side of the ball. Is Devontae Adams going to still be running routes when dudes are throwing the ball 20 feet above his head?
Yeah, we're talking about Devontae Adams' trade destinations before the season began. So, yeah, morale isn't very high over there in Vegas.
Morale's not high, and yeah, you're right. Not only are we talking about trades. Like Greeny and Pat McAfee are out here publicly making, you know, guaranteed bets about, like, if he's not traded to the Jets by Christmas, that Greeny is gonna, like, what, wear a tank top on Get Up.
Mm-hmm.
All things ugly right now coming out of Vegas, though I do hope that Antonio Pierce can prove some folks wrong there. That was Teddy Two-A-Days as we preview the NFL season. We're getting closer and closer to September. We already had a preseason game in the Hall of Fame game. Can't wait for some football this fall. C-Cat, Teddy Two-A-Days today brought to you by Baptist Health Orthopedic Care. Is that right?
I love Baptist Health Orthopedic Care. I also love baseball. I love going down too. Maybe even the Turnpike or 95, catch a game at Lone Depot Park, get some nice fiery 305 eats.
So here's the thing. You talk about just the fiery 305 eats at Miami Marlins home stadium of Lone Depot Park. How about those $5 beers on Fiesta Fridays? Ooh. Like, that's how you want to get down. That's how you want to get into the baseball environment, the baseball viewing pleasure. You got Legacy Saturdays. You also got Marlins baseball any day of the week that the Fish are in town. Join the fun at Lone Depot Park. Get loud. Show off the colors of your culture. Even bring your flags and instruments. You want this vibe to feel like the family experience of a lifetime. You got international eats and drinks and everything you could imagine. Marlins.com/tickets. That's Marlins.com/tickets. They open their series with the Reds tonight, and they also got the Padres starting on August 9th, just 4 days away. So a long homestand for the Marlins. Make sure you lock in and get your tickets any day of the week. Marlins.com/tickets, or again, those Fiesta Fridays, my favorite, Marlins.com/Fridays. Theoretically Speaking continues with the Safe Bound Get Around on the Other Side. It's our favorite way to hit all the top headlines across the globe. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. No more hating on gold medalists anymore. Hopefully not. We'll see. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
It's the greatest outdoor party annually, and it happens right there in Boca Raton in South Florida, the pride of 561. I'm talking about the Boca Raton Bowl, and we already have the date for it. You can already mark this in your calendar right now. It's going to be on December 18th. That's right. The Boca Bowl returning December 18th on a Wednesday. We're going to have literally two of the best group of five teams showdown at Howard Schnellenberger Field at FAU Stadium in a primetime game on ESPN. So make sure you lock in BocaBowl.com and tap in on the schedule. You know, the Boca Bowl don't just come with a game. It is a series of events before to lead up to the big party and the big showdown between two great teams. Last year, we had USF and we had Syracuse out of ACC. Who we're going to get this year, stay locked in to find out. The Boca Bowl, Wednesday, December 18th at FAU Stadium. C-Cat right there. It's me, Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking here on ESPN 106.3. Make sure you tap in on YouTube at Theo Speaking. Subscribe and keep kicking with us here as we keep the flow going. And the best way to do it, the only way to do it, if you're cruising, if you're getting along, you want to get around on the Safe Bound Get Around.
I get around. What you mean you don't know? Round and round.
Now, you already know you're safe with Safe Bound, and the Safe Bound Get Around reminds you of that. I mean, Safe Bound Moving and Storage is family owned. It's based right there in West Palm Beach, so some pride for my fellow locals, and it serves all of Florida. It is Florida's moving company when you talk about Safe Bound Moving and Storage. So whether you're moving out of Florida, maybe you're moving to Florida from another state, because you know, Theoretically Speaking, we stream globally as well as on YouTube. SafeBound Moving and Storage, it has the experience, the expertise, and a five-star customer service that you can rely on. SafeBound Moving and Storage, lock in with the family. What's our first stop, CK?
Next stop.
First stop on the safe bound get around, Napoleonville, Louisiana. Theo, have you ever been?
No, not at all.
Well, that happens to be where former massive Giants running back Brandon Jacobs played high school football. And the reason why I bring that up, check out this wild story from a podcast he just did.
Hold up. He did a line of cocaine before a game in high school.
Dude,
what?
Absolutely.
Wait a minute.
It was one of my homeboys. He had graduated the year before me. I was walking into the weight room. He was like, hey, guess what I got? What you got? Well, I got that white girl. I'm like, oh, for real? You want to try? I'm like, yeah. You try.
What game was it? What's the game?
338, four touchdowns. Killed it. I destroyed it. It was easy. I felt like I was the only one out there.
I don't know if this has more to do with the drug or more to do with the fact that Brandon Jacobs was like a man amongst boys in the NFL. So I would hate to see what he looked like playing up against high schoolers, because I'm sure it didn't look fair at all. But dog, like, doing a line and then doing 300 plus yards, he had to be a sicko running through the holes that game.
That's ridiculous. Brandon Jacobs in high school is scary, and a doped out Brandon Jacobs, he had a ball head in high school too. So like, that looks like a grown ass man already, and he's off that stuff. That's child abuse. I'm surprised he actually said this out loud on a podcast, because there's someone out there right now who is thinking, wait a second, I played in that game. He beat me up. I got a concussion from Brandon Jacobs. Performance enhancing drug too.
I think Brandon Jacobs was born with a bald head too. Like, he never grew hair. He just seems like that guy. It fits him so well.
Next stop.
Next stop on the safe bound get around, Kansas City, Missouri, where Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker, he signed a 4-year, $25.6 million deal. That's a record for a kicker.
Kickers are very important, especially when you're contending for Super Bowls, so I get it, locking in a kicker for record deals, but I'm sure the Chiefs wish he would have just shut his mouth a couple of months ago, and this wouldn't have really even be a headline people cared about. But one thing, though, C-Cat, what do you think he'll buy his wife with his newfound riches?
I think they're going to
second kitchen.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't know, that's one of those passive aggressive, like, look at this brand new vacuum. Like, you're going to love this new vacuum. It has nothing to do with the fact that it's going to help you clean the house so I don't have to, but check it out. That's what I think he might buy.
I will say, a great Dyson, like, that does seal the deal.
Next stop,
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Here in the safe bound get around, the Steelers are rumored to be in the market for 49ers disgruntled receiver Brandon Ayuk.
I think it happens. And why I say I think it happens, because I was sitting next to Tom Rooney on the stage when, at the Palm Beach Breakers, I want to say this was like in January, he said that the Steelers would go big game hunting for a receiver this offseason. It didn't happen for the longest. I was going to text him and say, hey, buddy, what gives? You gave us that breaking news back then. And now that we're inching closer and closer to this deal, and you know the 49ers are not going to pay Ayuk, and you know that they are preparing to pay Brock Purdy, this feels like a match made in heaven. Let's make it happen. Justin Fields to Brandon Ayuk for the next 4 years. I see it.
You see it. I see an organization that has had habitual wide receiver drama. And Brandon Ayuk, I don't know if he helps that reputation. I'll put it that way.
Hey, you got to pay, and you also got to pay the price for a diva receiver if you want those big numbers. I feel like Ayuk could fit right in. That is the safe bound get around right here on Theoretically Speaking with Safe Bound Moving and Storage. You're safe with Safe Bound. On the other side, it's time on an MVP Monday to deliver our Duffy's MVP. So stick around for that, as well as we're going to take you home. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Some exciting stuff coming to Duffy's Sports Grill, especially ahead of fantasy football season. I'm about to tell you about that. But first, C-Cat, I know you want to address something. We got a stat correction. We got a stat correction by one of our guys, Jalen Gilkey. So, C-Cat, I'll give you the floor here to rectify.
You know, as a producer, facts are supposed to be my thing, and it happens to be that's my biggest weakness is not knowing the facts, getting them wrong almost all the time, where it turns out the surfing going on in the Paris Olympics is not Fiji, it's Tahiti. But, you know, you at home, you driving home might be able to understand how I could conflate the two.
Yeah, no, I mean, they rhyme. So I appreciate you correcting that for our good people. And I would appreciate you if you found the perfect draft party place for your fantasy football draft. I mean, Duffy's Sports Grill is providing private party spaces. Duffy'sMVP.com. That's where you need to go. Duffy'sMVP.com to the place with more than 80 televisions in every single location. You got free Wi-Fi. You got the award-winning burgers, and you got the jumbo wings with two-for-one drinks all day, every day. But most importantly, you can do your fantasy football draft right in that environment, right in the midst of all of the fun. And you can reserve a space today at Duffy'sMVP.com. Or if you want to draft from home, you can always order to go and bring that party platter back to the crib. Duffy'sMVP.com, your home for fantasy football drafts, as well as a place where their game is always on. C-Cat, it's time for the Duffy's MVP of the weekend. I'll give out my first candidate, and that is Jim Harbaugh, for no other reason than he got out as soon as he could after winning that national title, and he left a mess behind him in Michigan. And in my books, it's a good move for him. Terrible for his alumni. Do you have an MVP candidate for the weekend?
I'm going to go to the squared circle to WWE. SummerSlam was on Saturday, and Roman Reigns returned. He was known as one of the best bad guys since the Attitude Era. Just one of the best bad guys. Everybody hated him. He got a reaction. He returned for the first time since WrestleMania, and he got the loudest pop. People loved to see him back. Roman Reigns, my MVP of the weekend.
Love for the Hill right there. And speaking of Hills, my third candidate, Tyreek Hill. I mean, in one weekend, the dude was named better than Patrick Mahomes, the best player in the NFL, and he got the richest deal for a receiver ever with his contract extension with the Miami Dolphins, over $106.5 million, fully guaranteed over the next 4 years. Tyreek Hill, not just my candidate, but the winner for Duffy's MVP of the weekend. That dude can run fast, and he better run from those court documents, because I know he's got a lot of people to pay out with that big check. That'll do it on a Monday for Theoretically Speaking. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. Go in love. Go in peace. Go enjoy Freddie and Harry next on ESPN 106.3.